morning, folks. Welcome back once again. It's time for Drive Time Friday because it is a Friday morning. And we're going to be all live this morning. The gang's all here. And there is, of course, lots to talk about as we watch the continued descent of the once free world into terrorism, communism, and hoaxism, it would seem, on all fronts. Anyway, let's say good morning. We have first Jeff Gilbert way down south in Costa Rica, and then also Tim Kern kind of in the heart of flyover country, quite a bit further east of where I am, which is in southern Colorado, and we're having a little bit of clouds today, unusually. All right, good morning, Jeff. How you doing? Let's start it off there.
Hey, Mark. Hey, Tim. Good to see you guys. Good to be with you folks out there in the world. And things are going okay down here. We have clouds, and we're starting to get rain, which is great because we've been in a dry spell for the last 2 months. And everything else is doing great, man. It really is. My pain from last week is still there. That's unfortunate. But other than that, everything is fine. Tim, tell us about how things are going in your neck of the woods.
Well, the weather is sunny. We have a dusting of snow on the ground, but nothing more. And spring's.
I miss snow.
Happy to report that.
I miss snow.
Okay, well, we have some. We actually got our first really decent snowstorm of the winter here about not quite a week ago at this point. Got a foot or so, and that's a reasonable amount. It certainly helps with the need for moisture. And we got some baby goats, and they are all doing well, too.
Yay, baby goats.
But let's talk about what is happening in the world, because for the most part, I've said this for quite a while, guys, the gloves are off. There's no longer any attempt to hide the fact that there are a whole lot of people, seems like a lot of them in Congress, whose major goal is the complete destruction of the rule of law and what's left of anything resembling the country that we at least thought we lived in. And it's beyond the pale. Okay, you know, we have, I guess we should start with the circus. Might as well get the circus out of the way. The first admitted perjurer. Now, there have been a whole lot of perjurers in Congress that don't put their hands on Bibles anymore. They just swear to preserve and protect a document that they detest and are trying to undermine. But they actually invited a guy who has been convicted of lying to Congress, and they pretended that they believed him. Even the WAPO wasn't able to keep that one up for long. Michael Cohen lied through his teeth. He's already been referred for investigation for multiple counts of additional perjury before Congress. And the press seem to have just kind of eaten it up because, hey, he's going to say bad things about the president, and it doesn't matter if it's true. We want to believe it anyway. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, the question with Cohen, of course, is when is or was he lying? You can never tell.
His lips were moving, and that was a lot.
Well, the problem is if he was lying when earlier, then he's not lying now. If he's lying, you can't tell, and you can't say that someone is always lying, except for possibly Bill Clinton.
Right. But I'm lying now. Yeah.
The problem is he's contradicted himself so many times, everybody gets to pick the statement that supports his point of view.
And he's under oath a lot of times when he contradicts himself, too, which makes it even worse.
Mm-hmm. I think he's giving Gomer Pyle a very bad name.
Okay. Any comment on that? I guess, to my mind, guys, the most important thing that I saw was Jim Jordan's put down of Cohen and indeed the whole committee. You're their patsy, he told Cohen. And he said to the assembled leftists there, Mr. Chairman, referring to the scumbag at the head, Elijah Cummings, your chairmanship will always be identified with this hearing because basically it's the first time a convicted perjurer has been brought back as a star witness. And that no other committee would even be dumb enough to do it was the bottom line. But here you are.
Jeff. And therefore, Jim Jordan is a racist.
Well, okay, and you're a racist nowadays if you tell the truth, unless, of course, I guess that's just generally true, because I know even prominent black conservatives, people that I admire greatly, like Dr. Walter Williams, who tell the truth, and they're called all kinds of bad words, some of which we can't even repeat.
Well, let's not. But we have any number of problems with Cohen's testimony. Principally, the medium is the message with this guy. He's the medium. And each side has now claimed his statements for their own to further their own agendas. The White House was all over his Cohen's testimony saying, see, proves there wasn't any Russians involvement. Well, heck, before when he said there was, they called him a liar. He's convicted of lying. So does it make any sense for Cohen to even be in the public light?
No.
The other question
the point.
That I thought was in.
That's why they put him up there.
I thought it was interesting, too, that he was asked point blank, are you going to say that you will not make money from a book or a movie or television appearances or a commentator's deal? And he said, no, I'm not going to make that promise. So he's got a book coming out, and that's going to be another pile of lies. Remember Hillary's memoirs where she remembered all the stuff for the book that she couldn't remember under oath?
Of course, she remembers it differently, too. Well, this has been going on. You had Andy McCabe here a week or so ago getting on 60 Minutes and profiting from being a criminal, sedition-inspiring so-called leader of the federal bunglers of investigation. The only way you can be a prominent bookseller, I think, is if you're a leftist liar that has openly committed acts of perjury. And in that case, your book is going to be a guaranteed hit because you're going to get your bribe through the book deal.
I thought it was interesting, too, that that Cohen said, I'm glad that I finally have a chance to tell my truth.
Okay.
My truth. I like that.
As opposed to the truth, perhaps. Or someone else's truth. I don't know what he's up to.
All right. Well, the good news is, again, he has been one more time in a criminal referral letter to the Attorney General, the guy that we don't much care for anyway. We'll see if he actually does anything, William Barr. Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows of North Carolina said that he was at times in direct contradiction to assertions contained in pleadings from the U.S. Attorney's Office in SDNY, the Southern District of New York, and also other witnesses have already contradicted their firsthand knowledge of the subject matter. So he will probably be guilty of, convicted of, we already know he's guilty, even the WAPO admitted that, of additional lies to Congress under oath. But again, he's standing before a bunch of people to whom oaths make no difference whatsoever. Maybe he can get a job with Eric, Mr. Fast and Furious's law firm.
Well, it's interesting, too. We had, Rahm Emanuel has abrogated the seat of power in Chicago. Now that he has lived there 8 years and made it worse, if you can imagine. We had
that's right. You ought to know about Chicago.
And there's going to be another. Well, you brought up Fast and Furious, which brings up Eric Holder, which then brings me to Rahm Emanuel, who never wanted to lose the opportunity for a good crisis. And the two of them were pretty instrumental in creating them. But it's interesting. Chicago doesn't know who the mayor is going to be. They're going to have another runoff because nobody got 50% plus.
Well, you ready for this? I thought this was funny. The Chicago Tribune is touting the fact that the diversity is the issue. Well, the trouble is the people of Chicago didn't have any choice. You can have a gay leftist female Democrat or another leftist female Democrat that's not gay. So the only choice is which female sleeps with whom, but you're going to end up with the same stinking policies. And the story I saw said Democrats should be embarrassed by Chicago mayoral election results simply because most people said, hey, there's no choice here. They stayed home. Only 32% of the voting public participated in the historic election.
Well, Chicago has changed a lot since I've left as far as the demographics, but the politics haven't changed a bit.
Well, the death rate has changed as they have become one of the gun control capitals of the world, too.
Well, thank heaven we have a model to show how that works out.
Exactly. Well, we had D.C. and we've got other places, but there at least it's consistent. Every place that follows The Chicago way ends up being another hellhole. President Trump had another word that's probably more descriptive but less printable.
Fair enough.
Okay. While we're talking about similar kinds of things, I'll throw this out. We'll get to the other big stories in a second. But this is kind of a related one in a way. Trump slams Democrats in the Senate on the so-called Born Alive bill. This is S-130. And what was interesting to me about this, guys, was, again, it fits into this theme of they're not even trying to hide it anymore. Once upon a time, remember this, when the pro-choice people used to say abortion should be safe, legal, and rare. And now they don't even try to hide it anymore. They say abortion should be common as dirt, and we don't care if the baby is kicking there on the table. We're going to kill them anyway. And so Trump's comment on S-130, which was a bill that did not pass the Senate, it's called the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, was that Senate Democrats just voted against legislation to prevent the killing of newborn infant children. And they're so extreme now, they don't even mind, they don't even pretend anymore, executing babies after birth. Now, what I thought was interesting was people that pointed out that within this thing is the key language. And it says the following, and this is what has so angered the we want to kill them all left. If an abortion results in the live birth of an infant, the infant is a legal person for all purposes under the laws of the United States and entitled to all the protections of such laws. And what they said is, hell no, we want to kill them. And the hypocrisy here is one thing. In other words, if a mother drags a baby across the border, that's a legal person. We don't care. Even if she commits abuse of the child by dragging them across the desert and over the barbed wire and maybe subjecting them to die out there. And if they take that child away, that's a crime. We're going to make sure that we outlaw guns because, you know, it's all for the children. But if we got a baby sitting there on the table, let's just kill it. It's not a person. And they're the ones that get to decide. And if that doesn't awaken people to just how black and white or maybe blood red this thing has gotten, you got to wonder what else will.
I hope something does. Hope something wakens people up.
Jeff, comments?
Well, not on that. I'm waiting for you guys to get to a point where I can throw something completely different out.
Oh, okay. Well, while we're at it then, let me throw one that's not completely different, because I think on the legal front, to my mind, this was a story I would be working up to. And no, it hasn't passed the Senate yet, and hopefully it won't. But I'm going to just be real blunt. There was a bill voted on, H.R. 8. There's another companion bill, which is not nearly as bad, even though the NRA lies about it and says, oh, it's even worse. But H.R. 8, essentially, they call it the Universal Background Check Bill, which is not what it is. What it is a bill that the communist, socialist, leftist, progressives are able to say, you slaves, and that's what they are, you slaves do not have the right to own property. Now, I have been beating this drum for quite a while because there is only one class of property that's actually named in the Constitution. In the Second Amendment, it says, shall not be infringed. So if you can infringe the living hell out of that one class, and even facts say people don't own it anymore, much less keep it and bear it, then there's no limit on what you can do. You can literally prohibit them from buying or selling anything, because slaves don't have rights, they don't own property. So what they have done is they have passed this bill that says we're going to put prior restraint even on what were once called private sales, private contracts between free people. So this is probably the greatest single destructive attempt on all of the Constitution in U.S. history. It's not just the Second Amendment. It's not just the idea of free association. It's not just the fact that Big Brother wants to know and control. It's not just associated with commerce. It's even associated with the one right that people still had, which was private contract and, you know, life, liberty, and property. And now they're saying you don't have that. From here, folks, there is nothing, and I mean nothing, that the communists cannot do with respect to private property. So what they're saying is, we're going to put background checks in place on the shall not be infringed property that you can't buy it, sell it, transfer it, or even think you own it anymore, and we will be the deciders. Tim, I know you have a slightly different take. Go ahead.
I do. I'm not there's a couple of provisions in this, and I'm reading the full text. And, of course, it exempts law enforcement officers, law enforcement agencies, armed private security professionals.
Licensed people by the almighty state, basically.
And members of the armed forces. So, and once again, you know, laws that apply to only some people and not to other people are unconstitutional to begin with. They're unconstitutional on their face. But I don't think that I think what this is doing is really making it so much easier for the FBI to simply stop gun sales altogether.
Sure.
Because it does not. This was ostensibly put in place because some crook who should not have gotten a gun got one because the FBI didn't do the background check in 3 days like they are required by law to do. So the FBI is spending way too much time chasing Russians or something. But the point is, the FBI did not do their job. So
nothing new there.
Yeah, well, now they're blaming everybody except the FBI. Nobody in the FBI got in trouble. Now they're just saying, we'll make it easier for you guys in the FBI. You can take your time doing these background checks. And how much time? All the time you want. There is no time limit. So the FBI can now take all the resources they were using on this program, on the background check program, divert them to something else, and some little manager someplace in Maryland is going to be sitting behind a desk with 80,000 applications to go through that will never get processed. Well, the entire structure of gun sales will collapse. There won't be any gun shops. There won't be any sales through licensed FFL dealers because they'll never get a gun, a permit passed.
And there won't be any private sales because private citizens no longer have the right to own property or to transfer it or sell it as they choose. So
I totally disagree with that. It will all be black market sales after this.
Ah, well, but there you go. That's a good point. And that's exactly what needs to happen, of course.
But the gun manufacturers will be out of business and there will not be new guns. So those of us that have been hoarding guns are going to be millionaires, provided we're willing to break the law.
With one exception, Tim.
There is.
It'll be ammunition, too. Don't worry, if private people can't own guns, they'll turn them into clubs by saying you can't have ammunition either. Go ahead, Jeff.
The ammunition's going to be the choke point.
You bet.
Just a note on that.
Lots of people that say, oh, I've got 12 guns and 1,000 rounds for every gun. My question to them is, who's going to let you shoot at them for 1,000 times? Nobody. So you don't need 1,000 rounds. You need a couple of magazine stops.
Well, you still, I mean, as a practical matter, Tim, and both of us have done some shooting, and I know Jeff has as well.
you can say that, yeah.
You better practice. You better have some ammunition to practice with your weapons, or you don't become very adept at it, and you can't use it when the time comes. So 1,000 rounds, as most of any enthusiast would tell you, isn't all that much. It's not going to keep you going for very long if you try to stay proficient.
Well, we're not going to have a long siege here. When something goes bad, it's going to go bad very quickly. And you're going to get one shot, and that's all you're going to get. You live in Colorado where there's plenty of places to shoot in private. The rest of us don't. And if I shoot pretty much anywhere, somebody knows I'm doing it.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's gonna dwindle. The clubs are gonna fall apart because there won't be anybody practicing. It's the whole idea is to shut down the entire gun industry first, and then choke off ammunition. Second, kill all the gun clubs, wipe out all the ranges, have no place to practice. Makes things a lot easier.
And then kill all the people.
But if you've got 1,000 rounds, you can probably make some money with those when it really hits the fan.
And I keep coming back to the longer game here, because the longer game, again, is at the point, well, everybody's heard the old joke. If you haven't, folks, you need to hear it. There are four boxes in a free society. Soap, ballot, jury, cartridge, use in that order. And literally what we've talked about over the years of doing this show and others is all four of those boxes, the right to free speech, the soapbox, the right to trial by jury. Certainly, you know, if the elected president of the United States can't act like a president, the ballot box is worthless. Look at Chicago. You got your choice between socialist gay black woman A and socialist B black woman, but not gay. And that's the only difference. So onto the jury box, which, of course, there hasn't been trial by jury in this country for at least 5 decades, or in a lot of places longer. And then the last remaining impediment to what they intend to do is the cartridge box, and we're seeing that being destroyed. And along with it, you know, the very idea of private property and private contract. And when people no longer have the ability to own property or contract, they're no longer free people. They are slaves. And welcome to South Africa. Others are pointing out that's exactly what's next on the agenda.
Well, guys, there is a – I have a friend down here, and I'll make this quick because we're running out of time on this side, who purchases firearms art. And with this kit, which has been on sale for decades – you can buy any number of different firearms art, which are completely legal to purchase in every aspect. The only thing about it is not a completed firearm. It is art, and it is completely legal to buy and sell without any firearms licensing because it is art. It is a non-functioning firearm for all practical purposes.
Well, all what you're talking about, Jeff, is a loophole, and anything that you know, like the ability to have private property that they call a loophole, is the next thing on the agenda to be closed.
So I would assume so, but it's not closed right now.
The same thing was true in the United States with weapons, and I'm not a dealer. I don't have a license, but weapons that essentially were made in the 1800s for a while were exempt. Weapons that people built themselves. Were exempt, at least certain parts of them, but they're making it more and more complicated and more difficult. It used to be if a fella had a machine shop, you could make anything you want, but no longer.
I'm just saying that there is, there are avenues that are still open for you to purchase, firearms. They are kits, they are art, and, the kits themselves contain pretty much everything you need to change it from art to something else. But it is completely legal still. It's amazing. I've never heard of it before until this past week whenever my friend showed me. And he had shown me several of the firearms that he had purchased. Or, excuse me, several of the pieces of art that he had purchased.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, again, I don't have a problem with that or with being aware of it. It's just that it used to be the biggest loophole. Well, they call it the gun show loophole. The biggest loophole was private concept of ownership, and that's what they're trying to close here. The idea that somebody actually owns a piece of property, even if it's protected by the Constitution, for crying out loud, and can do with it what they want. A father wants to give a gun to his son. Hey, isn't it his? Well, not if he's a slave, because he can't own it, and the son can't accept it. And that's what Big Brother is now saying. I'll go one step further, folks. I've said this before. Everybody that voted for this abomination is guilty of treason, which consists, if you read the Constitution, of making war on the states or on the citizens of the United States. And that's precisely what they're doing. So we might as well make sure we understand it, because the nation is literally at war on that front.
Well, if it's war,
music any second now.
No, 1 minute.
If
30
war,
seconds.
Then you don't get convicted of murder if you happen to be in it. I'm not going that far.
Okay. Well, we are at the break, and we are going to go that far at least, which is to the bottom of the hour. So we'll be back after this.
I see the bad moon.
Time Friday with your hosts, Mark Call, myself, Jeff Gilbert, and Tim Kearns. We are happy you're with us again this week. And before we get into all the other stuff that we've been talking about, which is all, you know, as applicable to what I'm bringing up, but I wanted to bring up something completely different, since I like Monty Python, and now for something completely different. We have India and Pakistan, who's been trying to go to war with each other for a while, and this week it almost happened.
They're getting closer, you bet.
Yeah. Well, the Indian Air Force, using a Russian MiG-21 Bison, shot down a Pakistani Air Force F-16, which they shouldn't have been flying because of their promises about getting those F-16s, but they did lose an F-16. But the interesting thing about it is we have what I consider a first. Pakistan is taking India to the United Nations and suing India for eco-terrorism for blowing up pine trees. And I thought that was absolutely amazing that we now have eco-terrorism that is being used in the world courts for war crimes. I thought that was absolutely amazing. I don't know if you guys have any comments about that, but I really thought that was amazing. A world's first, as far as I know.
Well, we've had a lot of world's first when it comes to taking the rule of law and using it for toilet paper. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, I'm just surprised that I'm surprised that a fish bed was able to knock out a, you said an F-15?
F-16, yeah, that was another thing. Because it's not a, the Russian Bison, it's a MiG-21. It's one of those, don't make me
turn. MiG-21 is the Soviet equivalent of the F-104. It goes really, really, really fast, and it takes three countries to turn around.
Oh, yeah, the Starlighter. Yeah, absolutely.
Like the old joke about the ape playing golf.
I'm just amazed that he was able to do that. They must have a good pilot or some really good
missiles. It's nothing more than a flying lawn dart.
Yeah. Well, they had a great pilot or some really great missiles.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So far,
the eco-tourism part of that I thought was very interesting.
And so far as the probably a more germane elements are concerned, things that will matter on this side of the world where people don't care if Pakistan nukes India or vice versa, there was concern on Wall Street that if they do light off some nukes over there, hey, it might get nasty, and who knows? Nuclear war has a tendency, because we don't really know, but it could spread. So that was one of the issues. Certainly, on just about any scale you measure, this isn't getting a whole lot of attention from the waste stream. They'd a lot more care about whatever will undermine the president. But there's no doubt about it. If they move in the direction that they are, and now we've literally had acts of war on both sides. There were five cities in India, for example, put on high alert earlier in the week about, potential retaliatory strikes and so forth. This has the potential to get very, very ugly very quickly, and that's among several hot spots now.
It does look like the U.S. is getting involved trying to get things toned down, so hopefully that'll happen. Something else I wanted to throw up is, and I do mean that literally, 6,000 suspension orders going out to students over vaccinations. You no longer can go to school without a vaccine, without vaccinations. Think is odd, this was up in Ottawa. What I think is odd is that how is it that these measles outbreaks that are coming up all over the world are being blamed on anti-vaxxers? I was under the impression that people who received the vaccinations were no longer able to get the measles or mumps or whatever it is, rubella,
yeah.
Whatever it is they're vaccinated for. I'm not sure how an anti-vax could be the cause of that.
They like to ignore the fact that in so many of these cases, people that are getting various diseases from the flu on are ones that have been vaccinated against them, and as a result, oftentimes they're more severe.
Hey, Tim, I'm not sure what that is, but we can hear it.
Yeah.
There we go. Something was going on. Yeah. Okay. So,
the other thing I wanted to throw out.
Well, hold on, Jeff, just a second, because okay. that's a good point that you make there, and it's one that we need to make sure we address. It's not just Ottawa. There were moves from the Clinton's Obama holdover in the I don't remember if it's the FDA or one of the other organizations that is supposedly protecting Americans while at the same time doing the exact opposite, saying we're going to move against the ability of people to opt out of our mandatory vaccination programs because they know better or because they have a religious exemption or whatever. It's the Californication of what's been happening. And in a broader sense, the whole idea of if there are inconvenient facts like people that are getting vaccinated against various things or coming down with the disease, we're going to blame those who know better and we're going to lie about it and not tell them. And that's the I think the other really big story on so many fronts is how much real information is being withheld from people because it's not politically correct and it doesn't advance the narrative. From non-existent man-made global warming to vaccines to glyphosates and genetically modified frankenfoods to 5G, you name it, we'll lie about it, or at least they will.
Well, let me throw this other one out because it ranks right up with that. Also in Ontario, the Ministry of Community Safety and Correctional Services, through an access to information request, shows that at least two provinces, Ontario and Saskatchewan, maintain a risk-driven tracking database. By the way, that is exactly what they have in China. And this risk-driven tracking database is basically scanning or scraping databases throughout not only online media, but also any interaction you had with any police agency online in any format with any person in any social media sector, you are now being added to this risk-driven tracking database. And you are basically, just like in the Chinese market, now in Ottawa under a social media credit scoring system.
All I can say to that is this is the Chinese model, this is the Big Brother model, this is the Gulag model, and it's being brought here, it's being brought there. I guess the only good news is that at least there's some pressure on the scumbag president in Canada to resign. That would certainly be a plus.
But that was because he got involved with that whole Huawei Chinese tech thing. Let me throw this last thing out.
There's no shortage of irony there either, if you think about it.
Yeah, really. There really isn't. This whole thing up in Ottawa, in 2017, through the investigation that I'm reading the article on from Motherboard, children aged 12 to 17 were the most prevalent age group added to the database, period. This means it may not be you that the government is worried about as much as it is your children. And I think as a parent, protecting your child should also include protecting them from social media.
I don't even like the term social media anymore. As listeners to my news know, it's socialist media, and they're not even hiding it. Tim, let me throw out this, and we'll go to you. If you didn't see it, Project Veritas, James O'Keefe, came out with another story earlier in the week describing exactly how, technically, Jeff probably is aware of this as well, how to Facebook, among so many others, are manipulating the ability to, they call it de-boosting, to have things go viral. So they have tags that are being embedded and things that they're doing software-wise to say, uh-oh, this is a conservative piece or a libertarian piece or a scripture-oriented piece, and we're going to tag it and make sure that a lot of folks don't get to see it. So they de-boost it. They push it down in the ratings even if a lot of people are wanting to find it, and they make it harder to find. Surprise, surprise. There are lots of ways that the evil tech folks that are in bed with Big Brother can do this, and most Americans never even know what's going on. They just don't see certain information.
Well, maybe we should rely less on Facebook for our primary news.
That's true. Well, then you got to also make sure you don't deal with PayPal, which is a socialist, it's literally fascist in their case because it's a public-private partner. They will defund operations that they don't like, prevent them from getting their donations. and similar. You've got various big bank cards saying we don't like certain industries, well, firearms among them. So we will not allow them to clear their checks. We'll put them out of business in any number of ways. And you're getting to the point where even, you know, it's almost impossible for mission groups and others to get donations if they are not politically correct and they don't want to play the game.
Now, on the other side of that, we also have YouTube, which has come under great scrutiny over the last month or two.
And over, guess who owns them? It's gulags.
Yeah, well, yeah. Over their underage participants in videos, and that they are just calling everything in that realm pedophilia. Now, how true it is in every case, who knows? But the thing about it is, the advantage to having something that watches for big spikes, trendings, things like that, and blocking things that are bad, I think the technology is perfectly fine. However, the way it's currently being used, specifically in the case of, you know, people who have different social ideologies, not necessarily things that are moral issues, but different sociological ideologies, they're being targeted. And so that's a misuse of the technology.
Well, Jeff,
whereas protecting people in India from mobs that go out and just, you know, murder you because they think you're guilty, and lynch mobs, you know, that's what this technology should be used for.
Well, the thing
unfortunately,
is,
that's not the only thing. Go ahead.
The point is, who decides? And if it's a public-private partnership between Big Brother and Big Evil, the decision is not going to be made appropriately. There's all kinds of technology. As you know, as a good old-fashioned classical libertarian, or even a classical liberal, when we understood that that was based on the concept of freedom, I have no problem with technology. And I have no problem with technology like firearms. And the idea is, hey, the individual should be able to decide how to use it. If he uses it wrongly and he hurts somebody, he breaks the laws of nature and of nature's God, and he steals, murders, kills, rapes, pillages, then he needs to be held to account for that. But as far as do I trust Big Brother to get in bed with Big Gulag or Big Facebook and say, oh, here are technologies we're developing. Oh, by the way, we'll shut up those people that don't agree with us. There's the difference, and the difference has to do with the force of what now passes for law. And the whole point of the Bill of Rights was there are a lot of things that government does not have the power to do. Well, they've taken, they've usurped, they've infringed all of those powers that they were never supposed to have, and here we see the result. Tim, I know you want to weigh in.
Yeah,
there's a market solution to that. If you don't like Facebook, make your own app.
Exactly.
You know, Facebook took over and blew MySpace right out of, you know, right out of the harbor. Same thing when Friendster got clobbered by MySpace. There's no reason why there couldn't be another app that says, okay, you can download all your Facebook information to us, and we'll do it differently.
Well, there
somebody
are, in fact,
develops that app, they'll be a billionaire. Otherwise, you know, let's not gripe about what we get for free.
I agree with that to a point. The problem is, if you go back and actually look at some of the history, guess who funded Gulag and made it into the multi-billion-dollar behemoth that it is? Answer: it came out of evidently some shady connections to Big Brother, whether it's DARPA or CIA or other black projects. You're not sure exactly. But essentially, the power to print money and to distribute money gives certain well-connected insiders, be it Bezos or a fill in the name of the billionaire, with the inside track and the ability to make waves and essentially to control markets. But again, the problem is we don't have free markets. We haven't had honest money for a century.
Well, I'm not willing to just give up, throw up my hands, and
I'm not
say,
either.
Well, we can't do this.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I am saying what we need to be aware of, though, is the fact that people talk about free markets, and it would be cool if we had them.
Well, people like that word free too much. Unfortunately, there's nothing that's really free. You have free Facebook, but it's not free. The news came out this week saying that if you had the ability, if the average user had the ability to clean their history, completely clean their history, it would be a financially devastating blow to Facebook. And they don't want it to happen. And they're fighting for it, saying that it is a monetary benefit to Facebook and their board of directors and their shareholders that this information that you freely put out there is used in marketing to you.
Of course.
And that
saves me time. I don't have to shop as much because they already know what I want.
Yep.
Yeah, they keep putting up everything in the world that you've ever visited, and they'll keep popping up little things just custom tailored for you. Why? Because you have freely given them this information. And those people, like me, I've been on Facebook for years. All that information is out there. Everything that I've ever said on Facebook or MySpace, I was only on MySpace for a short time, or AOL or, you know, fill in the blank, that information is no longer yours.
And you keep using the word free, Jeff. Understand that it's not free in this case.
Because you can't control it because you put it on their server. And you did that willingly and knowingly and voluntarily.
You click that little radio button at the bottom of that very long thing that said terms of service. And when you click that little radio button that says, I agree, you gave it to them.
That's right. So quit griping about it.
Yeah, under no duress whatsoever.
And therein lies the rub because, you know, here's where I'm, and this is going to be a comment that's going to come out of left field to the extent that willingly and knowingly is interesting in a society where most people have dumbed down to the point where a sandy occasional cortex is seen as anything more than an idiot. They don't willingly and knowingly, Tim, do much of anything. I don't think they have a clue. They have surrendered their God-given rights in exchange for a cup of pottage. They have literally traded freedom for tyranny. Yeah, they still did it, and they don't know.
Who are we to say that they can't be offered the pottage?
I'm on board with you, and I would say the following. At the point where they say, now you are going to be forced, Tim and Jeff and Mark, to take the pottage whether you like it or not, you willingly, knowingly understand and know better, you have withdrawn consent, you don't want to participate, you don't want to give up what you thought was your property, because it really is, then the response is, okay, now I'm going to not only opt out, I'm going to defend my rights with everything I have, because it's the only choice remaining.
There's still nothing wrong with that.
Well, other than the fact that they're rapidly trying to make the whole concept of willingly and knowingly opting out and owning property and trying to live as a free person and understanding that the law isn't what they say it is. The law is what the law really is. What's the law really is? Well, the law has been passed down for a long time. Thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill is the real law. And I don't care how many people vote to say, oh, we can murder if we feel like it. We can kill and we can take your property if we feel like it. It's still not the law.
Hey, well, once again, you have to look at the what realm you're dealing with. If you're dealing with the realm of the eternal, you got your 10 rules and some tradition to back it up. If you're dealing with the law of the the temporal,
the Caligula, the Nero, the Obama version.
Well, in reality, we have an argument against a government that legislates morality. We do have a government that has a document of a formative document that states what the laws of the land are, and I think that's the only thing we can argue. As soon as we start getting into morality that has any religious backing or baggage, we've pretty much given up the fight. We have an existing document called Founding Documents of the United States, which are to be kept and managed by the government, regardless of which time that government
resides. Is one of those documents called the Declaration of Independence?
The Declaration of Independence is not codified in the law.
But it's not a law. It's the founding
document. It's a statement of principles, but it is not codified in the law.
And by the way, you could argue the same thing about the Constitution and Bill of Rights.
No,
and I've heard people, well, there are those that will and essentially say it's a contract that Lincoln abrogated by saying that states, when they recognize that it's being violated, are in like a roach motel. You can get in, but you can never get out.
Lincoln did abrogate it. Lincoln was a traitor to the Constitution in that respect.
Yeah. So, okay.
There's no argument from me on that.
All right. Well, so here we are at a place where we're looking at the situation and going, wow. Honestly, if you step back and ask, what is the supreme law of the land, I will suggest that, you know, to use Tim's line, and I respect this, I give credit because I stole it from him fair and square years ago. You look at that Constitution, you hold it up, there are parts of it that still apply. Blankety blank and few of them, but there are still one or two. For the most part, it's a dead letter.
Yeah. And I'm sorry there's only parts of it.
Exactly. And here we are asking ourselves the question. I like to quote Amger, section 166, if I remember correctly, which says basically a law in violation of the Constitution of the supreme law is no law at all. It confers no privileges, no obligations. Basically, it's as if it had never been passed. And those are things people need to understand, because you have the Congress basically saying, the hell with you, you slaves. We will define when your life begins, and we can tell you when it ends. They didn't bring you into this world, but they can sure as hell take you out of it. And they will destroy your right to property, and they will do all of these things unless we say no. And we better say it good and hard.
Congress has the luxury of time. They can pass anything they want, and they're not supposed to. They're supposed to first be loyal to the Constitution and not pass unconstitutional laws. Having said that, we know they do.
Yes.
And they know that most of the laws never get to the Supreme Court, so they know that most of what they pass will never be reviewed. So they know they can get away with passing anything they want, and 98% of it's going to go through no matter what.
Well, furthermore, Tim, they know that most Americans have been so dumbed down at this point, they don't have a clue what the Constitution says or about what I just quoted from Amger or anything else. They have no idea what a law really is and what a law isn't.
Well, that goes back to our discussion of laws and rules.
So, yeah. Well, okay, so we got less than a minute left. I want to make one other quick comment here. A seven-year anniversary today. This shouldn't go without some note of that framework. Breitbart's founder, Andrew Breitbart, was found dead kind of suspiciously. Some have suggested it might have been an Arkan side. Exactly 7 years ago today. And interestingly, just before his death, he had indicated he had some really devastating information he was going to pass out. But, he turned colors and keeled over, almost like some kind of wet work was performed on the guy. So it's at least indicating to us that, lots has changed since then, but in a lot of respects, nothing has. We've had a Supreme Court justice who needed dying, at least so far as the left was concerned. Didn't bother with an autopsy on him. Another one who may be dead, but at least she's got a body double. But they want her alive. So here we are. Go ahead, Tim. Take us out.
I was just saying, Breitbart launched a lot of careers. And, for all his nuttiness, he really got an awful lot of discussion started. I got to give him credit.
He was a firebrand, and he was certainly a colorful and lightning rod of a character. So, I respect the guy and what he did. Jeff, we got the music coming up. Any final words here as we go out?
Sure. For all those who remember, there is only one licensed Blockbuster video in the whole world left. The age is ending. Shabbat shalom, everyone.
Okay, I don't know what that meant, but... he means the old chain store. There's only one Blockbuster Video store left. Okay, thanks, guys. Shabbat shalom.